You put your green fruit in, you take your green fruit out. You put your green fruit in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about.
They didn't have anything on apples. That's the closest thing I could find. But they were green apples, so.
I just have to say, Ben, the music you play, it has us all dancing. I looked around the studio, and everybody's just bopping away.
It's to keep
warm.
That's
what Saturday morning's for.
Yeah, keep warm, because it's 50 degrees.
We keep our guests pickled, cold,
no, isn't it amazing, this weather we've been having?
Yeah. I keep telling friends, it's Memorial Day. What's the temperature? It's 52. No, no, you're lying. I said, no, it's 52 here.
Yeah, we moved into a house that has a pool, and we haven't even gotten in it yet.
I know, all the graduation parties and everything that goes on this time of year, and you have to find something else to do.
Less than a month away from the summer solstice, and we've only had 200 days. And June's always the hottest month.
Right. Yeah. I got our
what
electric bill. I got our electric bill this morning. $53. That's like, whoa.
Never.
I'm loving my bill, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Head start on Christmas.
There you go.
So I'm really excited about something this year that we've done. Kari, Spencer, and I own a company called GrowPHX. You can find it at growphx.com. And we've been doing it, what, maybe 5 or 6 years now?
We keep saying 5 or 6 years, but I think it's maybe 6 or 7 years.
Six or seven years. Yeah. And we do cool things. We do gardening events. Well, last year we purchased a mesquite bean hammer mill.
Now, I think you're the only one in the Phoenix area.
It is the only one that I know of, that's in, especially the only public one that I know. And a mesquite hammer mill, you can see it on our website. It's not a slouchy piece of equipment. It's $12,000 for this piece of equipment.
It's not used. Indian mott.
Exactly. Exactly.
And a matat? Right.
Matate.
Matate.
Matate, yes. Yeah. And it's huge. And we bought it to do public milling so that you all out there can actually collect your own beans. We're going to have some walkabouts teaching out how to go out and harvest them, because they have to be harvested off the tree. You want to make sure you taste one so it tastes good. Then you can harvest them and dry them, and then you can bring them to us on the 28th and 29th of June to mill. So you will bring us a 5-gallon bucket of mesquite beans, and we'll mill it down to a few pounds of mesquite flour for you.
And it is delicious flour. Oh. It's kind of got a sweet, nutty kind of flavor.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I do.
Absolutely.
Because
incredible.
The hammer mill that up till now was in Tucson, I never could make it down there because it's right on Saturday morning. And so I would put it in my bullet. So it takes quite a while to grind in a magic bullet.
Yeah,
a magic bullet. So you put me first in line there. I'm on it.
Yeah. Nice. Well, and I do want to do a shout out to Dale Creek Equestrian Center. They're on Dysart and Camelback Road. We were out there and visiting with them. Really cool people out there. They have, she says 75, and I believe it, 75 native mesquite trees out there that are harvestable. So we will actually be out there on June 22nd doing a walkabout and a harvest, if you want to come out and visit with us. That's on our calendar at urbanfarm.org, and I'm sure Janice has it at growphx.com as well on our on our calendar. But we've got some really, really cool mesquite events coming up. In the next couple of weeks, you can go to urbanfarm.org on the front page. We've got Brad Lancaster talking about mesquite. We've got an online webinar, so you don't ever have to leave your home. We got Peggy Sorensen, a local forager here in town, doing a webinar. So you'll be able to learn online in your living room. And
I hope I see you're writing, Gary. I hope you're writing down satellite equipment to be ready June 22nd, because that is a Saturday, and it's in June, so I'm imagining it's going to be early in the morning.
It is.
So one of us needs to have the satellite
equipment.
Oh, you
want to come out there?
Yeah.
And do the Urban Farm 7, because that's the fourth Saturday of the month.
It is the fourth Saturday.
So that one's going to be live out at Date Creek Equestrian Center?
Dale Creek Equestrian Center. Yeah, right.
Dysart Camelback. Cool. Yeah. I'm trying to picture that because you're coming north on Dysart. There's a little hill, and you kind of come up, and all of a sudden you're
in the dip.
Just a few, all of a sudden Luke Air Force is just there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
in the dip. Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, I'm sure they'll be excited about it.
We'll have to arm wrestle Mom to see which one of us is going to be out there and who's going to be in the studio.
All right, I'm going to hold you onto that because I said earlier I have to figure out how to be in two places at once. Well, there we go.
Satellite equipment.
Nice.
Modern age of radio broadcasting.
Yeah.
Good old Comrex.
So, and you know, and the whole notion of preservation is what we're talking about today.
Oh,
once you mill the flour, basically I stick it in jars and stick it in the freezer and it'll last for years.
Yeah, it will. And it's a wonderful low glycemic flour. There's no gluten in it. You know, it's a great
sweet
alternative flour. It's absolutely delicious for bread or pancakes. And, you know, if you can't come out to the event and you don't have your own mesquite tree, I bet your neighbor does. And you could probably ask them if you could grab some some pods from them. So it's a wonderful item that even if you don't grow your own mesquite, it's all over the valley.
I was going to say, you can't go dig up cactuses out of the desert, but we're going to have to do a little research. I don't know that
I just wrote that down.
Yeah.
Can you just take a bucket out in the desert?
You know, you can go pick prickly pear out of the desert.
Don't tell anybody, but yes. Yeah, just go pick away. But here's, again.
You have to know when.
You can't unplant something. I mean, you can't,
right,
like you said, dig up
when
a plant.
You have to absolutely know when, which is in June. You want to harvest in June. You want to pull a bean off of the tree, snap it in half, and nibble on the end. And if it tastes like something you want to eat, harvest away. And then you have to dry them. There's a drying process. And we're going to cover that in our webinars, and we're going to cover that in our walkabouts. We're doing a walkabout at Granada Park on a Friday and Saturday in June. So you'll be able to come out and meet with us and, you know, see the process live.
I'll have Jim put that on our Rosie on the House calendar as well. So if you're looking for that, again, you can find it.
Yeah, so where would you go harvest mesquite in the desert? Well, let's see. Mesquite Wash would be the obvious place to start.
Yeah.
Thousands of places. Anywhere. Just drive towards a mountain and look for the wash and the drainage off the mountain. And you're going to find more mesquites than you know what to do with.
Oh, I'm sure there's millions of pounds out there that never get.
And do watch harvested where you're walking because that's snake season. So
oh, yes,
just be
exactly
careful.
wear good boots and
mm-hmm
Levi's. Yeah.
And good gloves.
All right, before we get to dehydrating, a couple of these questions that have come in. A 4x4 above ground garden in Mesa, what would you plant? My question back to that homeowner is, what do you like to eat?
Yep.
Well, I've been on enough that you know the answers.
And
you've replaced me.
Yeah, if you don't like eggplant, don't plant it.
Well, and then the other thing is go to plantingcalendar.org.
There you go.
That's our free planting calendar
to know
the
what
farm
grows now. And then you can say, hey, I like okra. I'll plant some okra.
Exactly. Okra, melons, peppers are still probably, you can still get peppers in the ground.
Yeah, I think so. Anything that's fast growing and, you know, definitely pick some. Choose something that you like to eat and look at the season, what can grow now. And I would also do a little research on the mature size of that plant so that you don't overplant. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I got one. I think it's a pumpkin growing in the backyard and it's filled up a space 10 by 10 so far. And it's just 4 weeks old.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So
William snapped a picture in and I'm going to see if you guys can get a close up. It might be hard, but he has a citrus tree, mm-hmm, and he fertilized at Valentine's Day, and it looks like this now, and he's like, what happened? Well, that, I don't think, y'all will have to share your opinion. I don't think that has anything to do with fertilizing. I've got a couple trees that look like that are citrus. We had a cold winter, and you're looking at frost damage, and those are branches that were already dead, that don't have any new leaf growth. Just trim those out, fertilize. Memorial Day is the second fertilizing in the three, and you're going to be good to go.
I'm just kicking back here, man. You're doing a great job.
I have spent 2 weeks trimming my citrus.
Yeah.
And I got my last one done last night.
Oh, nice.
And I still keep them low. They mm-hmm like to shade their branches and their trunks. But underneath there, a lot of new shoots were coming up, and you had suckers that were coming in. And I wanted to prune out the interior so that it puts the fruit out on the exterior, make it easier to pick, and just how much it cleaned up everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and what you'll notice that, so citrus typically have branches that die. It's just part of their growing process. And what'll happen is when you go out and remove all of those dead branches, like you did, you're going to see a flush of growth over the course of the next 6-8 weeks that'll blow your mind. So you did what you did right.
Now, you won't get fruit on that new flush this
Not
season.
This year,
that'll
right
come next year or the year after. It likes to put its fruit on mature limbs and not the new growth. That's just what you get to look forward to next year and how big it'll be starting off the next growing cycle.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, dehydrating.
Oh, one of our favorite ways to process food.
And the easiest way, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and Greg, you just got to Brand new dehydrator.
I just bought a stainless steel dehydrator that's 16 square feet of trays in it. So, oh, yeah, it's a monster.
16 square feet? 16 that's bigger than most bedrooms.
Yeah. Are you going to sell that? Are you going to sell
or
that?
Or 16 by 16 is what I was thinking.
You can't have the guest room at Greg's house.
Yeah, there you go.
That's bigger than your pantry, most pantries.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's really super simple. You see that we have apples and peaches and apricots here. What I do with the apricots is I cut them in half, take the pit out, stick them in the dehydrator. And they make this tart, chewy...
Candy,
exactly. It's amazing. With the peaches, I haven't quite perfected the peaches yet, have you?
Yeah, I don't really dehydrate peaches unless I make a peach... Fruit leather.
Yeah. Tell us about fruit leathers. That's an amazing thing.
This is my favorite thing to do, is to make fruit leather, especially with apples and peaches. So what you want to do to make a fruit leather in a dehydrator is just puree up your produce, add whatever flavor you want to it. If you want to put some agave nectar or some
stevia,
some stevia, maybe some cinnamon. Nutmeg.
Ooh.
And then, you know, puree it up, put some parchment paper on your dehydrator tray and spread that out in a thin layer, and then stick it in your dehydrator until it's leathery. And then I just cut that parchment into strips, roll it up, put it in a jar, and we have fruit leather that has no preservatives. It's a lot less expensive than buying the fruit leather at the store.
And a lot better tasting.
Yes, and it takes a lot longer to make than as long as it lasts on my shelf. As soon as it's out, everybody's eating it. So.
All right, so sometimes I'm a little dense, but we've had this conversation many times over the years, and I'm sitting over here with my jaw dropping. It's like, oh my gosh, I can do that. That is so simple.
It's very, very easy to do.
Yeah. How thick is that puree?
I make the puree thick enough that I can spread it out and it doesn't just run off the edges. You can always make, you know, bend up the edges of the parchment a little bit, but if it's really watery, it takes a long time to dehydrate. And so you want it to be
thick,
like applesauce, I guess, consistency.
Well, we could do the same thing with apples, right?
Oh, yes. I basically make an apple pie filling and I puree it apple pie fruit leather. It's making me hungry
right now.
Fruit leather.
I've never heard that term before.
Have you ever had a fruit roll-up? Do you know what that is?
I have seen those. I think I had one way back in
commercial.
The day, and that was so... I didn't like the way it stuck to my teeth. I think it was the last one I ever had.
They're kind of plasticky from the store.
Yeah, you can make them so much better at home, and they're very, very healthy, and it's like a treat for your kids.
You can get this information and listen to it again if you missed something or wanted to listen to how the process goes again, rosieonthehouse.com. Gary will have the podcast up shortly after the broadcast, which goes all the way till 11, so it's not like when the 8 o'clock hour is done, but you know, before noon, it's generally up on the podcast.